Morning, everyone. What I've prepared this morning was kind of focused on the church, trying to look through some scriptures and kind of get an idea of remembering why God made the church and what its importance is to glorify Him, but also to help to help each one of us along in our common goal to get to heaven. I'd like to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Here we see it. Church compared to Christ's body, and probably in a spiritual or figurative sense. Again, in 1 Corinthians, we have this comparison, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 19. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? We see here that all of us who have been baptized are considered parts of Christ's body. We all have a necessary role to play, and that no one member of the body has the right to discount or put down his or her own part or another's part to play in the body of Christ. We all need to work together to do what work we can. Each of us do the work that each of us is best suited to do in order to help make the whole body function as well as it can. If I want to receive the blessings that are promised to me in Christ, I must be a part of His body. When we don't offer ourselves to do what we can for the church, we are not letting ourselves help the church, and we are not letting the church help provide those things that we need in our own lives that are necessary to stay a healthy member of God's church. One of the most important functions of a church is help each of us to grow and to be the Christian that we are to be. Just as a part of our physical body must be connected to the rest in order to receive nourishment and protection, so it is with the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as the day is approaching. God commands us to encourage one another. In the same way that various parts of our physical body work together to keep our bodies healthy, so too we are to help provide that nourishment and protection to one another. We are only able to function effectively when we do come together, specifically assembling together each time we have the opportunity together as a church. When we are not as active as we know that we are able to be in the church, we cannot give and we cannot receive the encouragement the church has been created to give each one of us as God's children. Part of this encouragement means that others can help us when we are burdened, just as many of us look to our own physical families and desire to help one another in that sense. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Another example of needing to help all the members of the church grow can be found in 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall away from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We should all read and study God's word on our own and with our families. God also gives us the example to come together as a church to do so. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We each need to do what we can to help each other grow in our spiritual lives as active members of the same body. We need help to provide the needed encouragement and to share the wisdom that we have found in our own walks of life. There are perspectives that can help us serve God better that aren't always apparent to us. Those perspectives can be found from fellow church members who have had a different or just have more experience and are able to help us to see more clearly what we should do. We can offer the same to others. It's not always possible for us to know how sharing the things that we learn, that we see in our own walk of life, might be able to help someone else. If we are not participating in church every time we have the opportunity, in whatever way we are able to, we put limits on what God can do for us and how God can bless others through us. When we are baptized, we are forgiven of our sins. That does not mean that we immediately lose the desire to do those things that we know we should not. And it does not also mean that we know all that we need to do to avoid those sins in the future. We live in a world full of opportunities to sin, temptations to sin. Satan actively seeks to put obstacles in our way to serve God. And our way to serve God is as we should, and eventually can lead to us falling away from the grace that we received through baptism. God calls us to lead a life that is much different than the one that is commonly found in the world. There will always be the temptation not to want to be considered different from those that we interact with at work or at school or any other part of our life. It's important to be an active member of Christ's church, of his body, so that we can draw strength from one another and learn ways to be effective examples of helping each others to find Christ and find their faith in Christ. As we read earlier in Hebrews 10, we are told to stir each other up to love and good works. One example that I have found that is maybe considering a congregation of God's church to be similar to a fire. If the flame starts to die down, we need to stir that fire to help get it going again. Even though we stir the fire, we need to keep all those embers, all those coals of the fire to stay close together so that they can help keep the fire burning hot. We stir the fire and spread those hot coals out, then each one of us will not be able to help each one another have the fuel to keep our fires burning. And the overall fire can go out. Also, if we think of all the opportunities we have to serve God as being fueled to help feed that fire, that we are not within close proximity and making ourselves available to offer that fuel to the fire, it is of no good to help sustain the fire as we should. Friends that we have influence much of what we do in life. Spending time with other Christians, we learn to live better Christian lives. Spending more time away from fellow Christians has the opposite effect. When we are not part of the church and we don't take opportunity to fellowship with other Christians, then we are more easily influenced by those friends that we have that don't have that same goal. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have the responsibility to look out for one another so that we are not facing trials and temptations in life alone. It's a reason why God has created the church. So it can help each one of us, and also, importantly, to glorify Him. We glorify Him through our worship. As God's children, we should love, have love for Him and desire to please Him and worship Him. We are to offer Him our worship and thanksgiving. Prayers of thanksgiving and praise should be part of our own lives each day. And many of us probably even praise Him through song in our everyday life. God has also shown us that that should be a reason for us to gather together as His church so that we might offer our worship together to Him. In Acts 2:42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In Psalms 22, verses 22 through 26, it says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him. And fear Him, all you offspring of Israel. For He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has He hidden His face from him. But when He cried to Him, He heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear Him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. We also have the example, as we did today, to remember His death together through the Lord's Supper, as we have just partaken of. We have the opportunity to remember His death for His glory, due to the great suffering that He went through, but also enormous power of that sacrifice, the life-saving power for each one of us that has impacted each one of our lives beyond degree. But remembering this together as a congregation, we realize that we are part of His common body, of the common body of Christ. Can be better appreciate that we have a common hope together to be with Him forever one day. Christ promised His apostles that He would build His church, and He did so after Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." He also shows us in the Word how his church will be sustained through all those who continue to build upon what he has built, the foundation he has laid, so that we might properly glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. The temple is holy, which temple you are." Jesus has established his church through his sacrifice and through the work that he directed the apostles to build on it from the firm foundation that he gave them. It continues to be important that we continue to build the church according to the word of God, as has been shown to us through his apostles. We must make sure that we are each contributing to continue to build the church and what it is shown to be worthwhile and an enduring work for God's word, for his church. Things that seem important to others in society will in the end be shown to be vain, not helpful to us in the end. Taken up in fire, as it said. We need to each look at the service that we provide to God through his church, make sure that it conforms to the doctrine that we can find in his word. And so, by doing so, it will be something that endures and that something others can build upon to glorify God. So I guess the biggest question remains is for someone who is not a part of the Christ body is, how do I become a part of his church? God reveals this in his word, the steps that we must take to become part of Christ's body. This begins with our faith in Christ, that he is the Son of God and Savior of our world. In Acts chapter 2, when the church first began and followers were convinced by the many miracles of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, they were convinced of the good news from the apostles' teachings and were told what they had to do next. Acts 2, verses 37 through 39. "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call.'" Baptism is necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. And it's how we let the power that we see in Christ's death and resurrection be realized in our own lives and become, help let us become united with him as part of his body so that we can be assured in our resurrection into eternal life. I'll end with Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we all shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'll offer the invitation to anyone who's of the mind to join the body of Christ, to come forward, to show their faith in him and to confess their belief in Christ as our Savior and as the Son of God, to come forward now as you have the opportunity, as we stand and sing.